We honor you. We adore you. Holy Spirit, will you come with the keys that will unlock
. So good morning from our side. It's true, the words that came, it's as if he wants to break through the walls and get to the tender parts in our hearts. I remember this morning I was thinking about it when we were worshiping, that those of you who don't have kids, you won't fully understand what I'm saying now, but if you've had kids, do you remember? I remembered our first one. I have three little kids, a daughter of 9, a boy of 5, and a little one of 2. And Sonia and I thought we were great parents until he came. We were ready to write the manual, and then, he's a passionate one. But this morning I was thinking of our firstborn, and you know, you get to that place in your life as a family where you now feel, yes, we would love to start a family, and so. And then you trust and you pray, and then your wife phones you, and she says, I think I'm pregnant, and the tests follows, and so it's so. And the excitement, you know, the joy, the warmness of heart. And then I remembered this morning the first little Sonar. I'm not sure how many weeks. I think it's 8 by 8 or 12 weeks. You can get the heart. The first time you listen to the heart, it's racing. Do you remember that? And you get all teary, you know, that one inside. And I realized something about my daughter this morning. She was loved before she came. She was celebrated before she did anything. And it's the same with you. You were loved long before you took your first breath. Celebrated before you could speak. And this morning as I was praying and preparing my heart, I was pushing in many different directions, and I kept hearing the Father whispering into my heart, just tell them I love them. Just tell them I want them. Close, face to face. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's no God that doesn't look like Jesus. He's the perfect image of the Father. He's the very radiance of the Father's glory. In the Gospel of Mark, it says, and Jesus called his disciples so that they could be with him and that he might send them out to preach and cast out demons. And then I'm reminded of that prayer, that amazing prayer in John 17 from verse 24 downwards. And Jesus is praying, and the first thing he asks the Father, he says, Father, I desire that those whom you have given me, that they would be with me. See, you were called first into intimacy so that they may be with me. So that they may be with me. And I feel tonight, this morning, that the Lord wants to remind you as a father of that place. That the very thing He wants most from you is intimacy. It's intimacy. I sometimes think we've complicated this thing a lot. We have bigger heads than hearts. It's actually very simple. See, I've said it so many times, you know, Jesus on the cross is not first and foremost emptying hell and filling heaven. It's making a way back for you to the Father. Remember Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Did He ever say, I am the way to eternity or the way to heaven? He said, I am the way to Him, your Father, your Abba. And He wants a living, loving relationship with you. So, my middle boy is a very affectionate boy. I love him. And the other day, he came running into the room, and he pulled my pants, and I had to pick him up, and I pick him up, and I hold him, and he gets my attention. He rubs his hand on my beard, and he gets my attention, and he looks at me, and he says to me, I have a surprise for you, Daddy. I'm like, what? And he said, look at me. So now I look at him. He says, I love you. And he leans forward and he kisses me on the mouth and he climbs out of my arms and he runs away. And I have to hold onto the chair to stand. And it's one of those moments. And that's such a great picture of worship. Jesus in John 4, speaking to the woman at the well, saying, a time will come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that word worship is the word proskuneo. You know what it means? It means to draw near and kiss. You see, it's not the songs that excites God. It's the singer. It's that you are singing. He's not looking at the songboard and the lyrics. He's opened your heart and He looks inside of you. The Father. And this morning, I don't know, it's not what I have prepared for this morning. I have other things on my heart. I feel like this morning He's calling someone back to His heart. Back to that face-to-face moment. I was singing just now. I was remembering it. I grew up without a father. And eventually my mom married this guy and he was in the AFM church. So my first encounter with the Lord was our first service in an AFM church in Pretoria, Moorgloed. I'll never forget that church. It had the ugliest carpets. Even as a young boy without style, I knew that this is the first thing I'll replace, you know what I'm saying? And I was sitting there, and Pastor Corey van Wyk, an old man already by that time, spoke on, God is a Father. Do you know when Jesus says in John 17, you have loved me before the creation? The implication is simple. That God has been a father for all eternity, just like Jesus has been a son for all eternity. That means fathering is not a quality in God. It's who He is in essence by nature. He's always been the Father who's always loved the Son. And that morning he spoke on the father heart of God. And God is a father. He's an Abba. And I remember right at the end, he made a little altar call thing. And he said, is there anyone here who would love to meet God as Father for the first time? And we weren't used to moving in church, or, you know. But something got his hands around my heart and it just pulled me to the front. Before I knew, I was right in front, the only one. My face flat on that ugly carpet. And I started weeping. And I remember saying to him, I don't have any clue of what a father is like. But I want to. And he came. A warmth came into my heart. I couldn't speak for 1 week. I couldn't open my mouth. I was so undone by love. You know, when the spirit of adoption comes upon an orphan and he finds his home, he finds where he belongs. That's your story too. Different, but the same. I'm not sure what's happening. I'm remembering stories the last 2-3 weeks of the last 20 years of ministry. And the other day I was remembering the story. It moved me so much. And you've heard me share, but I'll share that and just come sort of to a close. But I remember years ago I was ministering in a Dutch Reformed church. It was the evening service and it was for teens. And if you've ever had a teen service, it's just a difficult service to do. Because half of them came for the girls and the other half came for this. And it's just so difficult, you know. And now I have an hour prepared. That's what I've been given, no more than an hour. And I've wrestled with the Lord. What do we do? Do we sing fast songs? Or do we? And I felt the Lord whispering into my heart, tell them I'm a father and I want to love on them, hold them, play with them, be with them. And so we sang 2 or 3 songs. And I started teaching on God as a father. And we ended the service and it wasn't magical at all. It was very difficult from the beginning to the end. And I'm busy packing up my speakers and while I'm lifting, I feel someone pulling on my shirt. And I turn around and there stand 2 little boys, this high, crying, like weeping. And they looked at me and hulle sê, oom, jy moet ons nou gaan doop. En hulle doop nie daar so in, jy weet. En ek sê, wag, ons moet eers gaan praat. And we walk away and we found a quiet place and we sat down and I looked at them and they looked at me and I said, what's in your heart? And they said, we are orphans. We come from the orphanage up the street. And every Sunday night, someone comes and picks us up and they bring us to church and we sit way at the back. So tonight we were sitting there and you started speaking about God is a father. And that I'm not a mistake or a disappointment, that he made me because he wanted me. He loves me. And he likes me. And the other one started speaking and he said, well, we don't know even what that is. We can't relate to that. I've never been held by a father ever in my life. I don't even know what that feels like. And then the other one started speaking and he said, but then something happened. It's like our hearts became warm. I feel his presence. I feel his presence. He says to me, I feel his presence. And we thought if you baptize us, the feeling will stay. You know? Because we don't want to lose this. I said to you, let me explain. He's always with you. the Father. And this call to intimacy with Him. That's why when in Luke 11, when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. They knew how to pray as Jewish believers. They were praying like John taught his disciples to pray. Morning, noon, evening. But they didn't ask Jesus to teach them a formula, because when they had eyes on Him, when He spent time with the Father, it wasn't about petitioning. It was a communion that they've not seen in their lives before. They saw for the first time what it looks like when man stands face to face with his Father. And their hearts ached. Teach us how to. And then Jesus went, and what did He do? He didn't give them a prayer list. He said, you want that? Here it goes. Father. It's a person. John 17, the first couple of verses. And now that the Father has given me authority over all flesh to give eternal life. And now here's the question, and I'm coming to a close of this. Jesus says, the Father has given me authority over everything that's living and breathing. And the authority is to give eternal life. What is that eternal life that Jesus gives? Is it heaven? Is it to live forever? He defines it. And the very next verse, and this is eternal life, that you may know Him who? The Father. What Jesus is saying, what I have had eternally with the Father in intimacy and communion, I'm now giving you. Face to face. So just for a moment, would you close your eyes? And excuse me if I moved from my notes. I just know the Father wants to touch someone's heart. Someone has to come back into the embrace, back into intimacy with the Father this morning. And I just want to pray with you, and it's a simple prayer. If you have an ache in you to come into the Father's embrace, to come into intimacy, I want you to just put your hand on your heart. That's all. And I'll be praying for you. Just want a revelation of the Father. I want to pray for you. Just put your hand on your heart. Father, Father, we love you. Reveal your heart and pour your love into our hearts.
does. To face communion with you. And help us to let go and to fall into your embrace. Be real to us even now. Our hearts have opened doors for you this morning. Fill us with love. Fill us with love. Fill us with your love, Lord. And I pray for every wounded, broken heart that's reaching for healing this morning, that you by your Spirit will come and heal. Restore. Strengthen and refresh hearts. And teach them this morning that following you means intimacy first. And give them a great hunger to encounter you in the secret place. I pray that you would reveal yourself through the word to them, in times of prayer to them. Amen. This young girl, what's your name? Zolan. What does that mean? Beautiful. Could you close your eyes for me? I feel like the Father wants to touch your heart. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Long before you were born, long before your first breath, what I always wanted to be was your daddy. And you are my little girl, and I love you so. And I catch every tear in a bottle, and you've had many tears in all your years. And I see the pain, and I know your brokenness, but my princess daughter, I will come and save. And I will hold your heart in my hands until you are whole. And I will restore you.
and heal your heart. Oh, you are the most beautiful girl. When you walked into the room, you caught my eye. I smiled over you. You are my heart's delight, and I am so in love with you. And I bless the day you were born. And so let me make it clear to you that you're not a mistake. You're not an orphan, you belong to me. It's from where you came. And I want to bring you face to face with me and say, welcome home. This is where you belong. Face to face in love's embrace. Oh, I love everything about you. You're perfect and beautiful. And you make this father's heart so happy. I wish you could see what I feel. And I wish you could see what I think about you. And I wish you could be here with me, that I can show you I love you. I love you. I love you, says the Lord. I love you. I love you, yeah, yeah. I love you, says the Lord. I love you, says the Lord. Amen. Time is not our friend this morning. I've been looking at you the whole morning, and as I'm looking at you in worship, I feel the Father's delight and love over you. He loves you so much, you know. Loves His Son. Loves everything about you. And there is a desire in His heart for deeper intimacy and friendship with you. He wants to really bring you into a place where you will intimately know Him as Abba Father. And I was asking the Lord, should I prophesy over him this morning? And the Lord said, no, just tell him, I love him deeply. Amen. Deeply. I was a couple of weeks ago I was in Sunnydale AM, and our worship team was ministering to the Lord, and we were walking and praying and do our thing, and I felt the Lord whispering into my heart, and He said to me, I will not give myself fully to those who are in a hurry. And then He said to me, because I do not want to be reduced down to a mere drive-through experience. I don't want to be their McDonald's. I want to have an intimate meal with my family. You have to slow down sometimes if you want to cultivate and nurture deep hearts connectivity. You know. And so one of the things I'm learning to do is to get out of that, I don't know what it is, that rhythm of fast-paced Christianity, fast meetings. We need to learn how to sit at the table of the Lord and feast on Him. There's nothing else that can satisfy the heart. You know, when God made humanity in His likeness and image, with that transaction, longing came into the heart of man. That from his first breath, man will always be searching until he finds the face of God. And you can see that all over the earth. People are reaching for so many different things to fill the void, to satisfy the heart. But they taste and it doesn't satisfy in the moment. But then the heart starts longing again until he finds the face of God. There's a longing built into you. And you will search and search and search until you surrender to the face and the beauty of God. It's only then that you'll be satisfied completely. It's only in Him. I bless you this morning. Yeah, yeah.